Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty and Dima Mixon. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Hey, we're glad you're with us. Got another good show for you today. Patrick McGee's going to join us here in a few minutes. Get our Saints camp update, a weekly that we get from Patrick. Got some more great stuff from Coach Huff later in the program. He's going to talk to us about how he got started in football, how football entered his life, and why the position he played in college makes him the coach he is today. So that's something we'll look forward to bringing you later in the show. Opening segment sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of Southern Miss and a great place to call if you're going to cater next weekend's first game tailgate. That would be the people to call, Dickey's Barbecue. All right, Dima, I got to tell you, on my way into the office today, I'm listening to a national talk show, and they're talking about Jenny's ice cream.
No, they had eaten
Jenny's ice cream last night.
Wow.
And how unbelievably good it was. And then the other guy brought up how unbelievably expensive it was.
Yeah. But can I say something about that? It's something that's bothered me since Wednesday. And something that I don't know if it's fair to say since Kelly's not here, but I just want the listeners to know that Bob and I cleaned up the entire station, the entire remote station all around Kelly. He didn't even move.
No.
He didn't even, like, his chair was still there.
Right.
And he was just munching the Jenny's ice cream. We tore down everything, took everything to the car. Mm-hmm. And then when we were done, he said, oh, did y'all need help?
Yeah. And in Kelly's, in the normal Kelly Center fashion, Dima brings three spoons. Dima takes a spoonful of the ice cream and eats it and sets his spoon down. Mm-hmm. I do the same thing, set mine down. Kelly starts taking multiple digs out of the ice cream with his spoon, and that's Kelly's way of saying, you guys are not going to get to eat anymore.
Yeah.
And as Dima described, we tore down the entire set, which is a pretty good job around Kelly eating the rest of the Jenny's ice cream.
His chair did not move, I'm telling you. I've never seen anything like it.
He's not here to defend himself, so we're going to have fun trashing him. All right, Dima. I did some research, believe it or not. We don't have a research
department. Is it on baseball?
Here. No, okay. I'm going to let baseball go today. Well, maybe. I have a couple comments about it. But anyway, so we're a week out now from football season. So I was just kind of curious, as we go into 2025, how big has the disparity become between the Power Five and the Group of Five? And I got a lot of statistics here I want to run by you and get your thoughts. Let's start with attendance over the past 5 years. The top five schools in America. Alabama, number five, 83,376 tickets per game. LSU, number four, 83,774. Texas A&M, number three, 84,455. Penn State, number two, 85,248. This is per game. Michigan, the number one draw in the country, 88,322 fans a game. Now, let's compare that to the bottom five, which are all, of course, non-Power Four schools. The worst in the country. Well, let's start with the fifth worst in the country. A team we're familiar with, Florida International, 9,200 fans a game. Ball State, 8,866. UMass, 7,935. Northern Illinois, 7,493. And the worst attendance in the country belonged to Sam Houston State at 6,200. Southern Miss, would you like to venture a guess over the last 5 years?
I'd say under 20,000.
18,955. And would you want to guess what was the number one drawing Sun Belt team over the past 5 years? Fan support.
I'd say JMU, maybe?
It's Appalachian State at 22,240. So here's my point here.
They do sell out a lot.
If the top draw in your conference is averaging 22,240 and you're competing against a team that's drawing 80,000 plus, how do you compete?
Yeah, I mean, it's about like level of matter, I guess. Because like, to be fully honest, a lot of these games, like there's only one group of five team that's getting into the playoff who can actually compete for a national championship. And, you know, those are going to be your Tulanes, Boise States. Every once in a while, you might have one of your lower teams have a great season. But teams like Michigan, Penn State, Bama, Clemson, all the teams that you mentioned, they're competing for the championship every single year, year in, year out, especially with a 12-team playoff. So there's got to be something, I think, and you know we can debate this about, there's got to be some kind of disparity. Maybe you split off and have a 12-team playoff for the group of five, and they're competing for something as well. I don't know. I don't know what you do, because it's just the fan engagement of – a 4-8 or 4-4 team versus a 4-4 team that literally means nothing versus Texas going on the road to Georgia in the middle of October. I mean, in my opinion, like, I'd rather watch Texas and Georgia. I'm not going to lie. But mm-hmm. Does that mean that, you know, the other games should be less important? No. And I think that's the problem.
Right. Well, here's another stunning statistic. Of course, you know about the revenue sharing that's now available where schools can directly pay college athletes. This is a projection for 2025. The SEC is projected to bring in $122 million and distribute $20.5 million, which is the cap right now, in revenue sharing for their athletes. The Big Ten, $116 million, $20.5 million. The ACC, $85 million in estimated revenue, $20.5 million in revenue sharing is the estimate. Now, let's look starting at the bottom and work our way up from the group of five schools. Keep in mind, $20.5 million per school. The least in the country, Conference USA, expected to generate $7.4 million and distribute $1.6 million in revenue sharing. The Mid-America Conference, the MAC, $8.6 million, $1.9 in revenue sharing. The Sun Belt, $9.1 million in estimated revenue, $2.1 million in revenue sharing, which is certainly better than Conference USA or the Mid-America. But if you have the financial ability to distribute $2.1 million in revenue sharing and you're going to schedule teams because you need the money that are issuing $20.5 million in revenue sharing, again, same question, Dima. How do you fairly compete?
No, well, you can't. I mean, there's no way to, and I don't even think anybody expects to. That's the problem. Is a lot of people, especially in historical group of five programs, such as Southern Miss or Tulanes or something like that, you can't compete week in and week out with the teams that are paying these types of athletes. And especially now, like the news yesterday of the SEC going to nine conference games, and also the SEC saying you must schedule one game, one of your non-conference games against a Big Ten, ACC, or Pac-12, or, you know, independent Notre Dame. So that leaves only two spots left on these schedules for SEC opponents, at least, to schedule bye games, which means, in my opinion, that means the rate of the bye games are going to go down, which is even worse for the group of five schools.
Right.
I mean, nobody wants to go play Alabama or LSU, but like you're saying, you kind of have to.
Right.
But now with the schedule change, I mean, it's going to be even less.
Right. Well, I gave you all these stats because this is the point I'd like to make, and that is if you're a Southern Miss fan like me, like Dima, like Kelly, quit worrying about what Alabama and LSU and Penn State are doing.
Yeah.
Enjoy the fact that you have a really good football coach here now.
Right.
He can build this program back to where it can be very competitive with teams that live in the same stratosphere as Southern Miss, and enjoy that. Is that wrong, Dima?
No, I don't think it is. And some of the lower tier – like, the reason Southern Miss can compete with Mississippi State is because Mississippi State is not Alabama. They're not, you know, Clemson. They're not these teams with just ridiculous athletic budgets. But, like, Southern Miss just can't compete with teams like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. I mean, that's just, the way it is.
No longer.
And 5 or 10 years ago, maybe so, if you get them on a good day. But no, especially within the next 5 or 10 years, I just don't think it will ever happen again, especially in football. Other sports, it can happen. Baseball, of course, and then basketball on a good day. Teams, group of five teams can beat, you know, Power Five schools. We'll see in the tournament all the time. But football is just such a different sport.
You should have played basketball, Dima. This says the average Power Five basketball player. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Will receive $218,611 in revenue sharing to play one season.
Yeah, and I definitely chose the wrong profession. I should have chosen coaching. I will say we were looking at some coaching.
Yeah, let me repeat that. If you're a Division I basketball player playing in the Power Five, you're expected to receive an average of $218,000 to play a season.
Yeah, and then they only play a season. They get drafted by the NBA and are paid $20 million a year.
Stunning. Stunning. All right, still to come, we're going to hear from Coach Huff. Just such a great interview, and we enjoy bringing you all those parts. But next, going to switch gears and talk about Dima's second favorite team, the Saints.
I'm going to get out my paper bags.
Update from Saints camp with Patrick McGee next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We're glad you're with us. This segment sponsored by Eagle Tire West. Former Southern Miss baseball player Matt Warren invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. It's all at the brand new Eagle Tire West. They're located next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, and big Southern Miss supporters. Also want to thank Forest Healthcare for joining the Eagle Hour. They remind you that you can keep up with your favorite team. That's fun this time of the year, but don't forget about the most important player, and that is you. Get an annual physical to be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. All right, we join our good buddy Patrick McGee, sports editor of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Patrick, before we get to the Saints, we went over some stats here earlier. I want to run something by you real quick, and I want you to answer this question for me. We were looking at what the NCAA put out as estimated revenue sharing, where the schools can directly pay players starting in 2025, and the SEC, the Big Ten, and the ACC all estimated to distribute the maximum, which is $20.5 million per school. Compared, for example, to the Sun Belt, which will have the resources to contribute an estimated $2.1 million. Patrick, are the days gone forever that the small schools can consistently compete with the Power Five programs?
Yeah, I mean, things will play out over the next few years. And, you know,
we'll see if fans are kind of enjoying the product. I mean, if you go back towards the end of last year, ratings dipped pretty significantly for the championship game, the way the playoff was set up and everything. And you're wondering if maybe there's going to be a point where they realize that all these schools kind of need each other. I don't know when that realization is going to hit, but to me, that was a sign of one thing, that the playoff probably drags out too far into the new year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, in terms of consistently competing, yeah, I mean, it's going to be really difficult. You're still going to see, the Southern Misses of the world put together, competitive rosters here and there. But consistently doing that's going to be really difficult. It's just going to become, it was already a challenge, and it's just going to be that much tougher going forward.
Yeah, I said in the first segment, I think fans like Southern Miss fans, and there are a lot of schools like that, just need to quit worrying about what the LSUs and, Ohio States of the college football world are doing, and enjoy your team competing against other collegiate teams that are in the same universe that you're in, and enjoy that. Take that in and be enthusiastic about that. Am I not right about that?
Yeah, I mean, they should be. I mean, Southern Miss fans should be excited because, I mean, they're going into the season opener against the SEC team that they should compete with, and some people think they have a chance to win. So that's always been a kind of a weak spot for Southern Miss fans, is that they concern themselves too much with some of the SEC schools in the region, what they do and how they compare themselves, and it's not a healthy thing to do. You focus on the team you have and their chances of succeeding on an annual basis.
That's right. And enjoy that, because we're fortunate to have a Division I athletic department here in Hattiesburg that we can enjoy college athletics. All right, well, enough of that. All right, my man Dima here is worried. He's got to ask you about a trade, Patrick. He's a big Saints guy.
Patrick, can you just please explain to me this trade of Devon Vale for a fourth-round pick? I just need an explanation from somebody who probably knows more than me.
Well, I mean, the Saints badly needed some size at receiver. You know, they can go out there and I mean, you're talking about a guy as a rookie who caught, 40 passes a year ago, which is pretty good, for a first-year guy. He's 6'5", definitely a big guy who's going to be able to go up and get the ball. The Saints were just way too small at receiver. I mean, Chris Olave, who is not a very big receiver by NFL standards at all, was the biggest of the group. You got Rashad and you got Brandon Cooks. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's just they needed somebody there, and they got somebody who should. I wouldn't expect him, say, the first 3-4 weeks of the season, set the world on fire. But over the course of the season, he's a guy that can contribute on a weekly basis.
It just seems to me that they're just giving out, picks and draft picks. And almost every trade, they just hand out 2 or 3 draft picks. And, when you're rebuilding a roster, that's, to me, I don't know. I don't know the offset of that.
Yeah, no, it's not great. I guess they're thinking they're going to figure out a way to kind of get those picks back in a way. It is, but I mean, they've made, whether it's Fortner, the Jaguars' backup center that they traded for, and now they've added receiver. I mean, those were two positions that they needed to address. And Kellen Moore obviously went to management and said, hey, we got to shore up these areas, and we're going to be really struggling through the first portion of the season. And to their credit, I mean, they're short-term answers, but, at least Valet he's somebody that's, in this, he's an older guy because he's Mormon and he did one of those missions before he went to University of Utah. He's 27 years old, but he's still a first-year guy. He's still a second-year guy. He's got some years ahead of him. So in a way, it's kind of like picking up another young guy in the receiving corps who's got some time
ahead.
Makes
sense. All right, Patrick, I watched the game this past week, and I'm not an expert, but I really couldn't tell that either of the two quarterbacks separated themselves or did anything to make me go, wow, here's the next Drew Brees.
Nobody said that.
So where are we, you think, in the battle to be the starting QB for the Saints?
I mean, I think Rattler's got that little bit of an edge right now. I'm like you. I mean, I've watched both preseason games, and it's kind of like they alternated. Shut closed really strong, and had some really good moments in the first game. while Rattler was just okay as a starter. Then the second game, Shutt gets the start. A little rough. I think much like Rattler, he played behind offensive lineman that wasn't offensive line wasn't playing very well. And then Rattler came in, like Shutt, made a mistake, but closed strong and got them in a position to tie a preseason game. So to me, it's a wash in terms of preseason play. But Rattler, just based that he's got that little bit of experience in the NFL, and I think he has outperformed him a little bit through preseason practice. So at this point, I think Rattler has a slight edge to just to be the starter week one, but I think both will play through the first or the early stages of the season.
You should see Demas' face. He's excited at that news. He's a big Rattler fan, aren't you, Demas?
You know, no comment there. But, I mean, it's just hard to get excited, Patrick. I don't know why. I don't know. It's just hard to get excited for this season.
No, I mean, it's the only thing that really Saints fans had to get excited about is the unknown, because there's just so much unknown. I mean, this roster is a little old. They know a lot of those guys on defense, but you got to probably going to have a new quarterback behind center in a way. I mean, I know Rattler's a second-year guy, but he hasn't really been the guy. I don't know if he'll be the guy or if he'll be Shutt, but there's just so much that you just – there's so much unproven talent on this team that's coming up in a first-year head coach. So – Moore is a good offensive mind, and he's shown that he can get, you know, he can get what he can get out of these, you know, he can get the best out of some guys on offense. And if he can do that, they're going to score some points, but I don't know if the defense is going to be good enough. I don't think you're looking at a balanced team right now across the board, especially in offensive line. Taliese Fuaga apparently hurt his knee earlier this week in practice. He's been right tackle and one of the more promising players on the team. And if he's out for a significant period of time on offense, that's a big issue as well.
Well, Patrick, are you disappointed that they took the overtime away from preseason football? See, you could have gotten a whole nother quarter in this week if they'd have just.
No, I mean, I mean, I don't even like, you know, regular time preseason games. I don't need overtime preseason games.
Yeah, preseason games.
I was not disappointed.
They're terrible. Not just the Saints, all preseason games. I love NFL football. I mean, I watch NFL football every weekend, but I have a difficult time hanging in for an entire preseason game.
I was watching SportsCenter like last Saturday morning, and it was the guy going, "Man, I just can't wait for this matchup this afternoon at 2:30, the preseason game." I'm like, "Dude, it's not that big, dude. Come on."
The starters are not. All right, so what's up next for the Saints? Who do they play, Patrick?
Oh, they play the Broncos. They play the Broncos in New Orleans. So Sean Payton's coming to town.
Well, that ought to draw a crowd.
Yeah, I mean, there should be a good crowd there for it, and we'll, you know, hopefully Sean Payton says something interesting for us to write about. But yeah, it's last preseason game, and I think, you know, it'll be kind of unusual because I think a fair amount of Saints players, especially a quarterback and an offense along the line, will probably get some significant snaps in that final preseason game. A lot of teams will be sitting pretty much all their starters.
I got you. All right, Patrick, we always enjoy our conversations with you, man. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, a sports editor of the Times-Picayune. I'm so proud of him getting that job. I don't mind saying that over and over again. Hey, MCS Home Center, we're going to be there next Thursday with Braylon Braxton and Josh Moten. Is that right?
Yes.
MCS Home Center, home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home lawn or garden, it's available. MCS Home Center out in Bellevue, Hattiesburg's new home improvement center with folks eager to help you. And don't forget, out there with two Southern Miss football stars next Thursday, and you're invited to come meet these guys, shake hands with them, get some autographs, pictures, whatever you like. Hope we'll see you next Thursday at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. Coach Charles Huff back on the Eagle Hour next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, you got one more week to go by Be Quick. They're celebrating their 60th anniversary. Great giveaways. The Be Quick Shell Station on the corner of 98 and Hegwood Road, right here in Hattiesburg. Get a Buffalo decal for your car. I'd go do it today. Put it on the back of your vehicle. Spotters are still out looking for those decals. And if they spot your car and they pick you, you could win a Saints football experience, a Mossy Oak shopping spree, a Royal Caribbean cruise for four, or a Biloxi offshore fishing trip. But it ends next week, so get on by. Be quick today. Also, I want to thank DBAT down on Hardy Street. Great state-of-the-art baseball, softball, athletic training of every sort. Luke Reynolds, the general manager, and we really do appreciate all they do with our program. All right, as you know, had a good lengthy sit-down with Coach Charles Huff earlier this week. One of the things I asked him about, I didn't want the whole interview to be about, you know, X's and O's. I asked him about when did football come into his life and how did he realize that football was one, something he wanted to spend his adult life doing, and here's what the new coach had to say. Coach, you've got a great football background, but I'm curious, when, at what point in your life did football get your attention, and did you think, this is what I want to do with my life?
At a very young age, my dad was a women's college basketball coach. So I grew up sitting in the corner in a gym, waiting for practice to end, waiting for camps to end. I learned at a very young age that I liked the aspect of a team. I learned at a very young age I did not like being inside. I was a very hyper kid, so being told to sit in the gym wasn't the easiest thing. But I liked the aspect of a team. I liked to watch my dad work with the young ladies. So when I got into you know, sports age, I wasn't very athletically gifted to play basketball, you know, so I didn't have the ability to shoot and do all those things, but I still like playing with kids. So football was an easy, there's a position for everybody in football, the big kids, the small kids, the fast kids, the young kids, and I got into it and I was around a bunch of young, my age group kids that was almost like going to school with, and I had some very good Pee Wee, Pop Warner League coaches who really made playing football fun and tough. It was one of those things where we're going to have fun, but we're going to do it the right way. We're going to work hard. And you could really see a bunch of kids coming together. And what it did to me was it gave me that ability to understand that it didn't matter size, speed, athletic ability. Everybody can be a part of this game. And I fell in love with it and played it all the way through high school. And the one thing that I really enjoyed was the X's and O's, the chess piece part of the game. Mm-hmm. As I got into high school, I really dove into the why we're running this play, why we would run another play. When I was in middle school, one of my Pop Warner coaches was my teacher, and I used to sit in class and I would draw up plays, and probably for the first year and a half, I always have 12 guys or 13 guys. And he said, this is a great play, but you got too many guys. And what it really helped me understand, I didn't think about it back then, but what it really helped me understand was the mental challenge that goes into a play or the plays. Well, you compare that or you put that with the mental challenge or the mental exercise that goes into the plays with the team camaraderie aspect. To me, it's the greatest game in life because that's what you do in the hallways. You know, you're just what you do on the playground. That's what you do, you know, out back playing with your friends. It's always the camaraderie of what are we doing. And then it's the, okay, how do we do it? You know, I lived in the country, so, you know, I remember we're going to build a boat, which was probably the worst thing we could have ever decided to do. But it was the, okay, where are we getting the wood? Where are we getting the planks? Where do we need to put the wood? But it was three or four of us working together. And that's what the game of football kind of gave me. And I mm-hmm. fell in love with that aspect and the mental challenge and the camaraderie and carried it all the way through college. And then when I got to college, I really saw how it opened avenues for everybody, whether you came from the north, the south, whether you were poor, you were rich. And I fell in love with that. And I've always wanted to give back to so many people that way.
All right, that's Charles Huff. Monday we're going to hear from him about his college career, position he played in college, and how that really translated, he believes, into making him the football coach he is now. But, Dima, I know you've had a chance to get around him some, too, and I find it interesting to hear things like that. Here's a guy that from an early age watched his dad coach. He followed in his father's footsteps. And you can tell it's the organization and the giving to young kids, no matter where they come from, no matter what kind of background that they've lived in, that seems to drive Charles Huff.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, that's true for a lot of coaches around the country, but I think especially coaches who grew up with the same mindset that he wants his players to have of, you know, I can be a part of this team regardless of whether or not my size, whether or not my speed, whether or not whatever. There's always a position for you, but you just have to do one thing for me, and that's do what you need to do to help this team. Not yourself, but this team. And that's something that Charles Huff definitely preaches to his players, that, you know, nobody here is an individual great player. You know, he'll say that. You know, Braylon Braxton is good, but we need to be around him making him better. You know, Braylon needs to be making the offensive line better, the running backs better, all of that. And I think that's what he preaches every single day. He has a relationship with these players. He has, significant football mind. Like he was saying, he was drawing up plays when he was 13, 12 or 13, which is crazy. I think, again, as I've said so many times, this is exactly who Southern Miss fans want in that scenario of trying to rebuild a program, because he knows how to do it. He's already done it before.
And I know you heard this yesterday. You told me in my office you had listened to the show, and we had Graham Crawford out here who played baseball at Alabama and Southern Miss. And he, in case you didn't hear it, he told the story of when he was at Alabama, the baseball players would watch the football team practice. Mm-hmm. And it was no music, no wasted time. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do. No goofing off. Clearly who was in charge. Then he comes to Southern Miss, kind of hears the opposite when he's playing, but he goes to practice earlier this year, and he said it was amazing. It was exactly what he saw at Alabama. That's encouraging, Dima.
Yeah, exactly, and that's obviously coming from Huff and his experience coaching under Nick Saban. But, you know, Nick Saban was a very, very to-the-earth guy, and, you know, if you need music to pump you up, you don't need to be here, you know, stuff like that. And that's what Huff has said. So, it's no surprise that that's the same way here. And I've been to every mm-hmm. single practice. Yeah, there's no music. There's no jokes. You know, we'd go to a practice last year. There'd be music to start the stretching.
That's what I was going to ask you. How does that compare to what you saw last year?
Yeah, last year you'd go in, there'd be heavy metal, heavy rap music to start stretching, a lot of jokes between the players, which there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I don't think that there's a separate ways for coaching styles, but I will say that coaches who are generally more, you know, successful take a more serious view of practice, because as they always say, if you've played any sport in your life, the way you practice is the way you're going to play.
That's correct. And I think one thing, and this is no dig at the past teams. I mean, obviously, our relationship with the past coach is no secret. He was a friend of ours, and we all liked him. But the one thing that I saw, and I thought particularly the last year, it just seemed there was a terrible lack of discipline. And you'd make a good play, and somebody would commit a personal foul. You'd make a good play, and somebody would jump off sides. I got the impression in my visit with Coach Huff that, man, they do the same thing over and over and over and over until they get it right. And I don't think you're going to see personal fouls from a lack of discipline very much on this football team.
No, and think of how many times they said in the last 3 or 4 years, like, if they would have just done this, if they would have just done that, if they just wouldn't have done this, this is how they would have been close. And a lot of that has to do with discipline, has to do with execution. And I think that there's going to be certain times this season where maybe the execution isn't great, you know, or maybe there is a couple personal fouls, but I don't think it'll be anywhere near the level it has been the past 4 years, and especially not in this first game. I think they're going to execute pretty daggum well, this team.
Good, more good interviews coming with Coach Huff next week. He's going to talk about what he thinks about what he played in college, how it helps him coaching. I ask him about the lack of love that his team is getting, even though they're in a way the defending conference champion, certainly with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And then some interesting thoughts he had about the NIL things that you and I were talking about earlier, and what he learned from Nick Saban before Coach Saban left the business about adaptation and how you have to be able to adapt to the times, or you could end up like the T-Rex, which I thought was kind of a interesting comparison when you're talking about Nick Saban and the T-Rex. They kind of remind me of one another a little bit.
I guess, yeah. I've seen Nick Saban look like a T-Rex on the field before.
He didn't do one thing, but that's win.
Yeah.
No question about that. Hey, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Tell Alexa or Siri to play. Dima's back on the show, so there's more reason than ever.
Why would you not?
To listen to
the podcast. And Kelly's not here, so definitely listen to this one.
This is the one you want to catch today. Dima and I'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, thanks so much for joining the show today. We do appreciate you each and every day. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. The fourth segment by 4th Street Bar and Grill. That seemed appropriate. Great place to take your family for dinner. Great place to go have a good lunch. Great place to watch the ball games this weekend. I think there's some real live football.
Yes, it's week zero.
Yeah, so 4th Street Bar and Grill would be the absolute perfect place to do that. Hey, thanks to Genesis of Hattiesburg. They're the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are fine, and their showroom is beautiful. It's on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. All right, Dima, soccer.
Well, they did lose again, so they start 0-3. They lost 2-0 last night to Auburn on the road, so they start 0-3. Looking at the stats, not good. They didn't have a single shot on goal last night, which that's just surprising to me. So then I went back and was wondering, like, for the whole season, they've played three games so far. Bob, they've only had 7 shots on goal the whole season, which is, what is that, averaging like 2 a game, 2.5?
Yeah, and I don't know very much at all about soccer, but that's not good, is it?
No, because their opponents have 38 in three games. And they have 7.
Is that right?
Yeah. And you know who they play next? They welcome the Rebels of Ole Miss here.
Here?
Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
That Ole Miss pretty good in soccer, too, I figure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, you said, let's move to something a little more pleasant. You said there's real football games we can watch this weekend.
Yes. I think Kelly's Cyclones are playing this weekend. They're playing in Dublin. So I can run through the week zero slate here. If it will pull up. So we got Iowa State, Kansas State tomorrow morning on ESPN. So we get to wake up to college game day.
What time is that?
11 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah. So and then Idaho State's playing UNLV. Fresno State's playing Kansas. Sam Houston State is playing Western Kentucky. And Stanford is playing Hawaii. So 5 good games on tomorrow.
Sam Houston State, we actually mentioned earlier, they have the worst attendance in college football.
Well, at least they're playing on the road.
that'll be helpful. Help them, right?
I'm just ready for next week, Bob. I mean, when you think about Southern Miss hosting Mississippi State here in Hattiesburg, we were just talking about it, how great it is for the state. I mean, you know, we can win or loss. Seeing those teams on the field here in Hattiesburg, it's just special.
And I'll say two things about that. First of all, kudos to Mississippi State,
right,
and their athletic department for their willingness to do this. And it would be great to see all the schools do this. But kudos to State because they stepped up. And I know I'm going to catch a little heat for this, but it's going to be really exciting for a number of reasons Saturday. And Coach Huff's debut, the new look team, that definitely is going to be exciting. But, Dima, the truth of the matter is it's going to just add to it that the Bulldogs are there.
Yeah.
And that Mississippi State is in the Rock playing Southern Miss. That's just like a little extra dessert, isn't it?
No, and you only get to see it every 10 or 15 years. The last time they came to Hattiesburg obviously was in 2015. And, you know, it's just crazy. You know, it's just – it's going to be fun. I selfishly, I wish it was at night because I just think there's something special to having a big game like that here at night, or you kind of like building it to it all day. You know, I hate that it's an 11 a.m. kickoff because you're kind of like waking up and have breakfast. Yeah. Like, what are they going to do? Like, flip eggs in the tailgate?
Yeah, you know, but I wish it was a night game.
Right, but I mean, I'm not going to complain. It's still going to be really fun. And like I was telling you before, off air, win or lose, it'll be a great measuring stick to see what Southern Miss looks like now. And I expect them to be very competitive, and I don't expect Mississippi State to run them out of the run them off the field.
Man, these kids are going to get after each other come Saturday.
It's going to be fun.
Here's a message I got from a listener, Damon. You brought this up. I'll let you comment on this. He said, I'd be interested in hearing our schedule situation for 2026 since Auburn will add an SEC team and a Power 4 opponent. Will we have to fill that? We already have to consider Louisiana Tech as a replacement as they're coming into the conference 50-50 if they settle with CUSA for $5 million and get the release for 2026. But that's a great point. I mean,
yes.
If we have these SEC schools on future schedules, are they going to drop us?
Yeah, and I think it's probably so. I don't know necessarily about the Auburn game. I have to look at their non-conference schedule. But the Louisiana Tech game for sure is something that I'm waiting to hear on. And hopefully we get some more clarity from Jeremy McClain in the Sun Belt about exactly when Louisiana Tech comes into the league next year. But, yeah, I don't think the Auburn game next season will get affected. But in 2027, 2028, 2029, those games, I don't know if there's any SEC scheduled games off the top of my head scheduled for those years. But I don't. That's something that we're just going to have to wait and see because we'll probably hear more from that over the next couple months.
Maybe they'll end up maybe playing some different leagues, maybe some ACC team, maybe a Big Ten team. I'm not saying Ohio State or Michigan, but
played Illinois, Purdue.
Illinois, Michigan State, somebody like that. I think those would be exciting games.
Or ACC teams, like they haven't played like a Virginia or a NC State in a while. You know, those are fun games.
And I think those would be, in a way, better games.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Instead of going up to Alabama or LSU and just getting wiped off the field.
Yeah, when you pretty much know what's going to happen before the game.
40-point underdogs.
All right, wraps up a good week. Sure glad to have you back, Damon.
I'm glad to be back.
Look forward to having you every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and some other days as well. We'll have more from Coach Huff all next week. We're going to be lining up some great interviews. We're on the road 4 days. We're on the road Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So we'll hope to see a lot of you out there and look forward to another week.
Don't expect Kelly to help set up or tear down.
We learned that the hard way.
We learned that the hard way.
Yeah, Dima really opened his eyes up. Don't give Kelly ice cream when you're getting ready to do work. That's what you do. All right, we'll see you Monday. Hope you have a happy, safe weekend. Enjoy that football this weekend. Southern Miss to the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.